Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Good morning. Every time we do football Sunday or do one of these fun Sundays, I'm always on the front row laughing because I always think to myself, there's no way that if my pastor was in the room, he wouldn't be in the room. He wouldn't be in the room. The churches that we grew up, how many of you guys ever grew up in a church where there was a drum line in church? Anybody? Come on. Okay, cool. Nobody? Okay, cool. That means that we were the first ones for you to ever experience that. We're glad. We believe church should be fun. And we love these songs. We love to sing these songs. We love to worship Jesus with these songs. And so we're glad you're here. We have a value at this church, and the value is this. We believe church should be fun. We believe church should be fun. I'm going to switch microphones, guys. This one sounds bad. I'll do better if the microphone sounds better. You'll hear better if the mic sounds better. I had to make that quick fix. Hey, we believe church should be fun. I think if we were walking around with the disciples, if we were walking around with Jesus's crew, I'm sure that they were having fun. And one of the ways that they would have fun, I'm sure, is serving people is fun. Serving people is a blast. It's a good time. It's always fun. So I just believe that we ought to have fun. I'm sure they laughed a lot. I'm sure that when, you know, the disciples, they weren't perfect people. There's no perfect people. We're not perfect. The disciples weren't perfect. But I'm sure they were doing things. I know for sure they were saying things that they shouldn't say. And just watching them. I mean, even when we see Jesus interact with the disciples, I'm sure that they laughed a lot and they had a lot of fun. They had a lot of fun in their ordinary everyday life. And so we believe that as well. We also believe this. We believe that Jesus, at some point in the story, in the journey, the crowds got bigger. At some point in the journey, the crowds got bigger, and Jesus started using things that we call parables. He started using parables, and so I'm going to look at a parable today, which parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, so I want to use a parable today. I'm going to use a very, 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 very modern parable, and then I'm going to tie it at the very end with some scriptures. But before I get into that, I want to let you know that we've been in a series called Relationship Status. It's called Relationship Status. And I want to just encourage you today. I'm going to talk about relationships in just a moment. But here's what we want you to know, that relationships, this is what we said last week. If you're honest, this is a quote from last week. If you're honest, you'll admit that relationships, they're not easy. Understatement of the year. Relationships, they're not easy. I was talking to some business owners at the very beginning of the service. If you have people coming into your establishment, those people are not easy. I was talking to some teachers just recently, and they're like, students pre-COVID are different than students post-COVID. Come on. It's probably the parents' problem. It's probably the parents' fault. But parents pre-COVID and parents post-COVID, it's a little bit different. And so I want to let you know today that if you're in here today going, man, I'm having a hard time with relationships, I want you to know that you're in good company because relationships, they aren't easy. Whether you're marriage relationships, whether it's co-worker relationships, maybe it's your neighbor relationship. Maybe you got a good neighbor. If your neighbor comes here, I'm sure your neighbor's incredible. But if they don't come to church here, they might be a pain. But no matter what relationship that you're in, they're not easy. It takes work. You have to work the relationship. But here's what we always say. Here's what I always say: that anything that's going to be of great value is going to take a lot of work. Anything of great value is going to take a lot of work. I always say this: the work is always worth it. The work is worth it. If you're going to build something, it's going to take you a long time, but it'll be worth it after it's built. And so I want to look at relationships today, but let me get to this parable today, this earthly story that I'm going to use today. This young man is playing in the big game tonight. His name is Brock Purdy. You guys have seen him all over social media. I want to show you a couple of clips this morning of his journey. I really want to show you his journey over the last 2.5 years in just 3 quick clips. I'm going to show you a clip from this week. I'm going to show you a clip from a little over a year and a half ago. He was right fresh out of college. I want to show you a couple of clips but this guy, Brock Purdy, he's the quarterback for the 49ers tonight. And as I was looking over, I was studying this week and kind of watching his story and kind of looking at his life. And he's a very, 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 very young quarterback. He's only been in the league for a couple of years, but he's made a great impact already. He's had some adversity already, which if you're alive in here today, you've had adversity. You've had struggles. You've had some strongholds that you had to overcome. He's overcome those. he's had to be committed. But this young man, he has a great faith. And I got something from the great theologian Deion Sanders this week. And he said this on ESPN. He said this. He said I'm looking for a Brock Purdy. He said I'm looking. He goes, I'm looking for a Brock Purdy. So everywhere, one of the greatest stories. And he said this. This is the greatest story. This is the greatest young athlete. He said that he's seen in the league in the last 2 decades. And so the reality is that the world is watching two people today. They're watching Brock Purdy today, and they're watching Taylor Swift. Those are the two people that they're watching. And a lot of you guys didn't even know there was a thing called the Super Bowl until Taylor got involved with football this year. And so if you're a Taylor fan, I'm not mad at you. I don't care. But then some of you guys are like my friend Jessica, and she said, I'm just here for Usher. I'm here for Usher. My kids are like, who is Usher? And so tonight I have to sit down with them and watch, take them through all the albums. You know what I'm saying? Our Spotify has not been on Worship in Jesus and You version this week. It's been just Usher. Like, just listen to Usher. Like, prayer time. I'm like, listen to Usher. You listen to Usher right now, and you're going to like it. You're going to like it. And so I want to get to this story of this young man, Brock Purdy, and we're just going to look at his life and look at a couple of clips, and I think that we can pull some things out of this. One of the things I've wanted for this church from the very beginning is I want all of us in here today, I want us to look at everything that we see through biblical lenses. We ought to look at the world through biblical lenses. We shouldn't look the way that everybody else looks. We should look at this world through biblical lenses. So let's look at his story. Let's take a look at this first clip.
But it also made me think about like the elevation of your platform this year and what that was like. So I'd like to start there. God really took you to places maybe I don't even know if you even dreamed of. Maybe you did. But an opportunity to become a starting quarterback in the NFL and lead your team to an NFC championship game. When you think about where you were, let's say a year ago, February 2022, to where God has brought you today, a lot more people know who Brock Purdy was today than maybe they did 2022, a year ago. What kind of comes to mind? Just an overarching thought on what this past year has been like for you now that you can kind of look back and reflect a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just how faithful God is just by nature of who he is. You know, a year ago, after my senior year of college, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to, you know, Coach Campbell and my parents, and I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if football's in my future. Like, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to just go with, you know, the whole process of getting ready for the combine and then the draft. And if I get a shot with an NFL team, great. You know, I'm going to put my head down and go to work and see what God does with me. But I had no idea. And I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of doubt. I had a lot of doubt of if football was even in the picture. And I was starting to get ready for whatever else God had for me in my life, you know, whatever that career looked like. I was starting to just think about different things. And so, yeah, just overall how God is faithful. He's never done with a story, even when you think he is. And, yeah, that's probably the first thing that comes to mind.
All throughout his story, if you watched him in college, which probably you didn't, but if you watched him in college, even into this video today, he gets recruited. One of the things that you didn't see in the video is that this guy is recruited low. Like, no one expects him to be any kind of great. No one, his expectations probably weren't that high. He's watching this draft. He's watching the draft with his dad and his mom and their believers. And you can follow videos of him on social media and on Sports Spectrum. By the way, that guy looks familiar to you. That's Pastor Chris's brother, the guy doing the interviewing. And the reality is that he said, man, no matter what, through this phrase there, God is still faithful. When it seems like no one's noticing you, when it seems like nobody's watching what you're doing, when it seems like things aren't clicking, this guy, he goes that first year, he gets to the league and does well, injures his arm. God is still faithful. I love people, and I hopefully we can get to that point in our life, and hopefully I am there. You don't really know what you're made of until after you go through conflict. You don't really know what you're made of until you go through conflict. You go through conflict, you'll see what you're really about. Like, we'll see how great your faith is when you go through conflict. And through all the conflict and all the trials that he goes through, he's saying this, God is still faithful. God is still faithful. I wonder what that would be said about you. If all that you've gone through, all that, I love that song that we sang just a few moments ago, I Got the Joy. Like, do you, in all the seasons of your life, the ups, the downs, have you had joy all the way through? Because it's easy to have joy. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Probably you have. But it's easy to have joy when you're on the mountaintop. But when you're in the valley, do you have joy? Come on. It's hard. Have you ever met someone? Joy? Do they have the joy down in their heart? Like, do they still have that joy deep inside? And is it coming out of them when you're going through adversity? So he goes through adversity. And he's obviously going to make it back to this game, and he comes back and he bounces back. Let's take a look at this next clip.
He remains faithful, certainly, but what was it that you learned about yourself in this process of going forward and finding and seeing all that God brought you to do?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, one of the things that, you know, I had been reading throughout the season was Mark 8:34. It talks about Jesus is telling his disciples, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And it also talks about if you try to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Mm. And so I think really that is just like, I feel like the message of the whole season with all the stuff that had happened, coming in, playing, been having success and maintaining that success, getting to the playoffs and doing all these things that, you know, a rookie quarterback hadn't really done in NFL history. And with myself and like my mindset with it was exactly that verse that Jesus had told his disciples thousands of years ago. And I didn't want to grip on to this life of, oh my gosh, I'm in the NFL. I have a starting quarterback role. I can't lose it. It was flipped. I was reminded, you know, of what Jesus had told us thousands of years ago in terms of don't try to hold on to your life. You're going to lose it, you know, and the world wants you to go this way or that way. And the minute you have fame and if you're trying to chase status and money and all this kind of stuff, it's you'll lose your life rather than, you know, denying yourself, picking up your cross, keeping my eyes on Jesus and his promises. And through that, like that's life, and that's a life worth living, and that's how you save your life, and that's in Christ. So
it's beautiful to hear.
One of the things I love about his story is that he has, if you listen, you'll see that he has his identity secure. He said whether football didn't work out even before the draft, I don't think it said in the first clip, but in this interview, he's talking about, hey, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to the league. I'm actually preparing to see what's going to happen next. And then I get in the league, and then I'm injured, and no matter what, I'm going to serve God no matter what. No matter where I go, he's there. No matter where I go, he's there. I'm just gonna deny myself. I'm gonna take up my cross, and I'm gonna have to follow Jesus. That verse is mentioned three of the four Gospels. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You have to have, I think, as we're watching this parable, you have to have your identity secure in Jesus. And it's funny because a lot of these guys, when they get done with the league, they're like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do after that. And I know I was at a football signing and a cheerleading signing this week. A lot of young people, they get through the sports. They get through college sports, and you know, 1% of kids are going to go play Division One. Number 1% of high school kids that play sports will make it to get a Division One scholarship to go play ball. But then after that, the percentages get smaller who are actually going to make it to the league. What happens when this football's over? And he has his identity secure, so he's saying, you know, no matter what, whether it's football or it's not football, I'm going to follow Jesus. I wonder if that can be said about you, with or without that thing that you love so much, with or without that thing that you're pursuing right now. Is your identity secure in Jesus Christ? Are you denying yourself? Are you, because I mean, his whole story, this whole journey, God was faithful pre getting into the league. God's still faithful. I broke my arm. God's still faithful. And I love this story because the story has a sweet ending. Maybe tonight we'll find out. But in this journey, even this week, Chris's brother was able to catch up with him this week, and listen to this testimony. See if you can see some resemblance from the very, very first clip that we showed you to actually this happened just this past week. Take a look at the screen.
Brock, let me ask you a question about your faith.
Jesus.
How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good. Tell me about scripture this year, some of the Bible verses that you've been reading and passages that's maybe helped you this year.
Yeah, this year for me, it's been Psalm 23. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then it goes on. But for me, you know, playing this game, playing this sport, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in, you know, wanting and feeling like wanting to be loved, you know, obviously by your teammates and everybody, but like the world. And so for me, like in that passage, it's talking about, you know, I already have what I need from the Good Shepherd and Jesus. So I don't know. I've just been studying Psalm 23 throughout the whole season and been going back to it. It's what I start off with actually every single day. I just read off Psalm 23 to myself before I start off with some solitude, and then I go about my day. I
talked to your dad a couple days ago. He said he prays his guts out when he watches you play.
Yeah.
Do you pray when you're playing during a game?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You know, and it's not, God, can we win here? Can we do something great here? It's more just to have that peace, that steadfastness in all the chaos. That's really what it is. It's sinking back into, like, Holy Spirit, you know, take over and lead me here in this moment and allow me to think clearly, allow me to, you know, obviously go through my reads and like I said, just have a even-keeled state of mind that I get from the Holy Spirit. So,
come on, what a powerful story. All, yeah, come, we can clap for that. About 2 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, God put Psalms 23 in my heart. He just put it in my heart, and really, honestly, in the last 6 months, there's been several seasons, several times where God has just put a passage of scripture in my heart, and he said, hey, I want that just to get in there. And what I've been able to do, this is not a normal thing for me. I'm not like, if you know me really, really well, like I like to like be out there. I like to be with the people. You don't catch me a lot sitting in an office and just studying scripture. While I'm studying scripture, it looks a little bit more fluid. I was on my back porch yesterday. Two of my kids were at high school retreat, and we're at the retreat with the students, and I just find myself in moments where I'm just kind of looking at scripture. But usually I'm working through a progression, much like a quarterback. I'm kind of working from left to right. But over the last 6 months, God's been like putting scripture in my soul and my spirit. It's really happened right around sabbatical, and he just said, just chew on this passage of scripture, hang on to this. And one of the passages of scripture that he just kind of put in my spirit in the last few weeks is Psalms 23. And really what God told me to do, he's like, just hang out there. Just hang out there. I'm not very patient, so I don't really like it. I don't like to show, if I schedule a meeting with you, I like to get there. I like to do my best to get there before you get there. I like to be on early. If you're late, I'm triggered, by the way. If I ever meet with you and you're late, I'm just going, dang, where they at? It could be 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes. But I'm like, man, where are they? I like to get there and to be ready for whatever, to be prepared. And mom's in here today. I found myself in the desire to actually want to get in that carpool line really, really early. I'm new, obviously. They're like, hey, you're an idiot. Don't do that. That's what they're like, oh, don't do that. But I'm like, so I find myself now, I'm like, let me see how much closer in the car line I can actually get. I do not know what time these superhero moms are getting there nowadays. I don't know if they're dropping off at 8:30 and then swinging back around and parking there. But every time I get there a little bit earlier, they're still there. They're still there. And where my kids go to school, you're out on the road and it's kind of chaotic. But I find myself in different spots, whether it's in my car or on my back porch or I'm on a walk, really just listening to Psalms 23 and just kind of getting that in my system. And then when I watched this video just this past week, I was like, okay, that's what God wants me to share. It's ready now. Like it's been in there. It's cooked. It's not, sometimes I feel like the messages or some of the scripture, God's like, it's like fast food. He's like, here, quick, get this. But I feel like this is one of those scripture where God's been asking me recently, like, hey, just to hang on to that. Just hang, like, get that in there and let it be in there, and then I'll tell you when it's time, when it's time to release this. I want to read to you Psalms 23, just like he just shared with you just a moment ago. And I like this passage of scripture because we memorize this as little kids. We memorize this, and probably a lot of us in here today, if you memorize the scripture, you probably memorize it in old King English. It's probably how you memorize it. And so I'm not going to take you back, because that would trigger a lot of you guys if I read out of the King James Version. It would take some of you guys back to shirts and ties. Come on, somebody. It would take you back to Sunday school with the Sunday schools where they were allowed to hit you upside the head or on the bottom. Like, and I don't want anybody triggered in here, Dale. I want to make sure you hear the message. Or maybe it brings back memories of your mom and dad dragging you to church. But I want to read this passage of scripture to you, Psalm chapter 23, out of the New Living Translation, which is where we hang out most of the time, and kind of share with you just guys a couple of thoughts that God's kind of shared with me on this idea of relationship status, around relationship status. So Psalms 23, the Bible says in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Where's my shepherd? I have all that I need. I want to ask you a question today. Are you good with God being your shepherd? Are you good with knowing that we have a God who's going to take care? The scriptures say that God, my God, will supply all of my needs. If you have this verse right here out of the gate, we can stop here. Psalms 23, 1 says, if you have God, you have all that you need. Now, that's so hard for us because we're chasing all these things. We're chasing relationships, and we're chasing money, and we're chasing all these things. And whatever kind of status you're chasing, we've all chased status before. I went to I was at a gym yesterday, watching a CrossFit competition, and it's like, man, I walk up to the guys like, how's it going? He goes, oh, we're in 10th place. I walk to the next group of people who I'm friends like, hey, oh, we're in 3rd place. I asked another couple, she's here. I was like, hey, what place are you? And she's like, I don't even care. I'm just here to compete. You know, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to just destroy the competition. But I don't even know where I'm at. It's not even on my phone. But man, we chase all these things, but God, this Psalm 23 verse 1 says, there's a maturity here. If you can get to the point in your life where you realize that God's your shepherd and you have all that you need in the shepherd. And having God as your shepherd, you have all that you need. Because you automatically think, oh, I have all that I need. You should think about your cars, this is a very, this area of town, there's not a lot of people that have a lot of want. There's areas and there's pockets everywhere people have want, but we have so much stuff. But in God being your shepherd, that you, with him being your shepherd, you have all that you need. Verse 2 tells us this, that he lets me rest. I love this. I love the word lets there. I used this scripture with our team this week, but the Bible says that he lets you rest. He lets you rest in green meadows. And I love that he says that he lets us, in the Old English or in the King James Version, it doesn't say the word let there, but I love the word let there because I think there's so many gods that people are chasing and there's no letting them in that. There's just a deadly pursuit of whatever it is, and then usually whatever it is that we're going after, we'll go after, and then usually once we get it, we'll find out that it actually has us. Oh, I got it. And then it has you. And then it handcuffs you to the thing. And so while we have salvation and we have the grace of God in our life, we're still pursuing these things. And then once we get them, we find out that we no longer have them. They have us. I let one of the girls yesterday, Pastor Wes, you need to get a new cell phone. I'm like, this one still works. But even in the industry, I forgot who said it. I heard it recently, but it's like that we don't, like we in social media and with all the digital advertisement, digital marketing, that we in some regards that we've become the product. And we own the things that we used to go after to own, they now own us. The Bible says that he leads us besides peaceful streams. If your life is not in a peaceful stream right now, you go through seasons where it's up and down, up and down, up and down. But if you find yourself never finding any kind of peace, it's maybe he's not your shepherd. Maybe you're not allowing him to be your shepherd. Like, he's your shepherd, but you're like, you're still going with it. Have you ever seen someone walk their dog, but then you watch long enough, you find out the dog's actually walking them? Come on, somebody. That's for someone in the room here today. The reality is that we find ourselves with God's our shepherd, and he has us by that. He has that staff that we'll talk about in just a moment, but we're really trying to, he's got us, and we're trying to pull God along. And so instead of allowing God to lead us, I don't know about you, but if he can lead me to peaceful streams, I want that kind of shepherd. I want that kind of shepherd. Verse 3 says that he renews my strength. You need your strength renewed. If you find yourself in a season where you're really, really tired, you need to go to the shepherd, because knowing the shepherd, you can have your strength renewed. The Bible told the children of Israel, God told the children of Israel, hey, I'm going to give you guys manna every single day. Every single day. Only get enough manna. You're going to walk outside. There's going to be food on the ground. Only get enough food for that day, because tomorrow I'm going to give you what you need. You need your strength renewed. If you need your strength renewed, there's a good shepherd. You have a good shepherd. He wants to renew your strength. He wants to renew your strength. The Bible says that he guides us. He guides me along the right path. And if you feel like the path that you're on is not going so well, this is a good self-check. You literally can take out a piece of paper, take out Psalms 23, and ask yourself, am I on the right path right now? Man, are the relationships that I'm in, are these healthy relationships? Because the goal is not relationships, the goal is healthy relationships. Are your relationships, are they healthy? Are you on the right path? Does it seem like there's a right path? And the Bible tells us, the Bible talks about path in Old Testament, but it also talks about paths in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says in Scripture that there's a broad path and there's a narrow path. Crazy enough, the broad path it leads to destruction, but the narrow path, it leads to Jesus. But it tells us that a lot of people are on the broad path. Everyone's on the way to destruction. There's only a few people that are on the narrow path. I saw a sad statistic that I'm contending for this generation. 1 million young people will leave the church this year. And I know I say it all the time because I'm serious about it. It's not okay. It's not okay. It bothers me. I feel like I made a commitment when I launched this church for this church to be here for the next generation. It wasn't like God was like, hey, can you give me? It wasn't like God said to me, like, there's running backs that can get in. And they're going to give you one play, and they're going to give you all they got. But as soon as they're done, they got to come up. But there are some running backs that once they get in the game, they can run two or three possessions in a row, and they can just keep on pounding the ball. I wanted to be the guy that we can be in this game for a long time. Just keep on pushing the ball. Keep on pushing the ball. Keep on pushing the ball. Keep on pushing the ball further and further up the field. We got to help these young people be on the right path. Here's what I'm going to let you know today, that we can never help them be on the right path if we ourselves are on the right path. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Verse 4 says this, even when I walk, this one's an awesome verse, even when I walk the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. I God hit me with this week. You know, a lot of times you go to pastor, you hear messages, and the pastor's like, come on, let's be a people of faith, and we're not full of fear. You know what I realized when reading Psalms 23? That faith and fear, they have to coexist. Because it's the fear that leads you to the faith. I used to be like, oh man, you know, it took us great faith. It took us great faith to launch this church. It took us great faith to launch this church. And I realized, man, we were afraid the whole time. But it kept on leading us to our faith. I love what Craig Rochelle says, is whenever you feel fear, it's a reminder for you to pray. I loved it. It pushes me. I was on a call. Now that I've done some things in the church, and we've got 8 years down the road, and we're going to continue to go even further down the road, there's some faith muscles that I have that are built that now I can begin to share some things I've learned with some of the things that I've built, and I can share that with other people because I've walked through some dark valleys. If you walk through dark valleys, the Bible says that God is walking through those dark valleys. He's with you, and you don't have to be afraid. The Bible says, for you are close beside me, your rod and your staff, they both protect me and they comfort me. Now the staff is used for prodding on the end, but it also has a hook to hook the sheep's neck. And sometimes we need prodding, and sometimes we need the hook to get us out of the mess that we're in. He's there. He's always there. That song that we sing about, he's there. The Bible says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I want to let you know today that just because you walk through dark valleys, it doesn't mean, a lot of people think when I walk through dark valleys, it means that God's not there. Actually, on the contrary, the Bible says that when you walk through dark valleys, he's right there with you. And he's walking with you. Man, Pastor West, I feel depression. Jesus is right there with you in your depression. I'm anxious, Pastor West. Jesus is in there with me. Pastor West, I have a family thing, and it's not going good. He's right there with you. I got a text message from a lady who's brand new to our church. And her daughter-in-law, she has a son, he's married. Her daughter-in-law has a brother who's 40 years old, got a tragic accident this week, rushed to ICU. Pastor West, can you please pray? Absolutely. The next day they were checking for brain activity and messaged her. And then the very next day, hey, Pastor West, today, pray for us. This was last night, I was messaging her. Today, the doctors are coming, everyone's there, the family's coming there to come and say goodbye to this 40-year-old young person. 40 years old. Man, is that a dark valley? It's amazing sometimes. It's like we use comparison's not good, but sometimes there's a comparison that is good. And there's a comparison. I think a lot of times what we think is a dark valley, what we're finding out really, it really wasn't that dark when you compare it to somebody else's dark valley. It's still dark to you, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, you're like, man, that was a really, really, really dark valley. I just want to encourage someone in the room in here today that no matter dark, whatever valley you're going through, the Bible says that he's walking there with you. He's walking with you. You're not alone. If you were alone, you would have never came out of the last valley you were in. Come on. You remember the last valley you were in? Come on, we've all been in the last valley. We all had a last valley. Hey, here's encouraging, wherever, and you're gonna have a next valley. Come on. It's just valley, mountain, valley, mountain, valley, mountain, valley, mountain. That's what it is. It's like you can get to districts and it's awesome. Yeah, districts, but then you can lose in regionals. You can lose in regionals, but you can lose in the states. That's life. It's ebbs and flows. You can have a good report and you can have a bad report. For every bad report we get, hey, Pastor West, I have cancer. We get another good report this church. Hey, my cancer's gone. I don't know how to explain it, but my cancer's gone. It's the ebbs and flows of life. There's valleys and there's mountains. There's both of them. God's walking right there through. If you're in a dark valley today, I just want to let you know you're not alone. He's there. He's protecting you and he's comforting you. He's what got you out of the last valley. Verse 5 is a very powerful, preachy voice, yelling, screaming, drums and guitars behind you kind of verse, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says that he prepares a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I don't know about you today, but that verse is like, it kind of lifts my spirit up a little bit, because sometimes, man, the Bible says that God prepares a feast. Like, you can just watch me eat. I'm good. Hey, I'm good. Like, it may look like I'm down and out, but I'm good. It may look like fourth quarter, and we got to score 2 touchdowns with only 3 minutes left to go, but I'm good. I got to take my son to a game this year, and we went to see the Dolphins play, and that's our team, and it was awesome. And we went up 2 scores. It was a slow game. We went up 2 scores. I said, Bud, let's walk. And they're at a Hard Rock Center. Let's walk and let's get to our Uber so we can get out of here. And the moment from 3 minutes were left, like, we got this. We lost that game. They scored 2 touchdowns in 3 minutes. It'll be a game that he and I will never forget. It didn't crush our spirits. We got in the Uber, 45-minute ride Uber. He fell asleep. He was fine. We're here today to live talk about it. The point is that in your valleys, the Bible says that the enemy is going to come after you. But God says, I'm setting a table for you. You're going to be fine. Whatever it is today, I want to let you know today that you're going to be fine. I was talking to Ronnie, and we were in my office a few weeks ago, and he was working through some stuff with his health. And he's like, good news, if it's true, I go to heaven. He's like, good news, if it's not true, then I have Jesus on earth. The Apostle Paul said this: if I'm here on earth, Jesus. If I'm in heaven, Jesus. Either way, Jesus. This guy, this parable that we looked at today, Brock Purdy, goes, no matter what I go through, God's still faithful. He's still good, no matter what. If you lost your job today, all your income, would God still be good? Oh, that was a quick yes. But like, some of you are like, I'm not saying yes to that. I don't want to find out. Have you ever find yourself looking at someone else's story and go, man, I wonder what I would do if I was in their situation? I've been there before. What if I had that experience? Would I be okay? Would I not be okay? Would I be able to stand in front of my church? There's a guy I follow. His name is Levi Lesko. He's very, very, very popular all over, a preacher on social media. But his daughter passed away 2 days before Christmas Eve, right before she was 4 years old. He went to church 2 days later. I was looking at his story, and I was like, would I go to church 2 days later? He got in the car from them, daughter had an asthma attack, and got there too late, etc. She passed away. They got in the car, and his wife looked at him, and she's like, what would our daughter want you to do? And he grabbed a stack of those invite cards that you'll see out there out there when you walk out, and he's like, go. She would invite all those people to Christmas Eve service. He walked back, got out of that car, took a stack of those invite cards, walked in, invited all those nurses that worked on his daughter, doctors that worked on his daughter, and several of them came to church that next night, gave their life to Christ. That's a powerful testimony. My point is this, like, if you go through the darkest darks, is God still good? Because the Bible says that he prepares a table. He goes on a little bit further and goes, you, in the presence of my enemies, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Man, God wants to bless you today. He really wants to bless you. He wants that the sheep, they needed their head anointed with oil to take care of, to keep the flies away from them and to keep them from burning, from being out in the sun. I want to let you know that God's there. He wants to protect you. Will you allow him to protect you? Will you allow him to be with you? It says, my cup overflows with blessings. Some of us in here today, these songs should make you come unglued a little bit because it reminds you of where you came from. There's a lady in our church. She's brand new to our church. And she was in a, I was talking to so-and-so, and she was in a, I was talking to so-and-so that she was in a sisterhood group with, and she's like, hey, do you know that lady's story? I'm like, yes, I know her story. Her story is really, really powerful. And God did this thing, and man, and God worked it out. And man, this guy should have this had this terrible thing, but God was there. And man, when God has been there before, then we should be living on the fact that God was there before and he's going to be with us in the future. And remembering, living out of the overflow that God has given us. He's overflowed us with blessings. The Bible says, verse 6, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Are you gonna always be hanging out in the presence of God no matter what? No matter where I go, he's there. If I go to the highest mountains, he's there. If I go to the lowest valleys, he's there. It's coming right from this passage of scripture. Today, can I give you 2 thoughts today? I've given you a lot, but let me give you just 2 more thoughts. I like exegetical preaching where you just walk through the scripture and just talk about it. But I wanted to let you know just two thoughts really, really, really quick. In the context of relationship, status, the Bible talks about in Psalms 23, there's an enemy out there. There's a reality. There's an enemy out there. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I just want to let you know that the devil wants to destroy every healthy relationship that you have. The devil wants to destroy it. The devil wants to destroy every healthy relationship you have. So if you're going, dude, this is hard, and it feels like the devil's in it, it might be because it's healthy. I want to let you know the enemy is just putting a target on every, if it's healthy, he's targeting it. If it's not healthy, he already has it. He doesn't need to target it. I tell every young couple, I have three weddings this year. So far, two weddings this year. And I sit with them all in premarriage counseling. And I tell them all this, the exact same thing. I said, the moment you say I do, the devil puts a target on your back. Because it's God's plan. He puts a target on your back. It's just what happens. It's what he does. Right now, you're dating. The enemy's not. You're, whatever it is, whatever your status is, I don't know what it is. I know nowadays it's complicated. But the moment you say I do, because marriage is God's plan. The moment you say I do, the enemy puts a target on your back, and he's just out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. He kills and he steals and destroys. And so, if that is true, I also want to let you know that all of your relationships, they need a shepherd. Your relationships, they need a shepherd. Like, you need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Your relationships, they need a shepherd. Diana's marriage, it needs a shepherd. It needs a shepherd. My relationship, I love my kids. I'm so proud of them. They need a shepherd. Kids in our youth group, they need a shepherd. There's some awesome kids in this church, by the way. They need a shepherd. It's awesome that we get to shepherd them and we get to like lead and guide them, but they need the great shepherd, and his name is Jesus. I got a message last night. Our kids were at retreat last night, and they went to Freeway Ministry yesterday, which is an organization that we serve, and they serve people who are out of addiction. And so we sent a group of 20 people over there, 20 young people, leaders, and in a group, and Pastor Josh, who leads Freeway. Our kids were at this retreat having fun, but in this retreat fun moment, they did all these fun things, but there was a serving component. So they went to go serve for a couple hours. Pastor Josh messaged me last night and goes, hey, to Diana, he goes, hey, we just got wrapped up with Freeway and got home. I just wanted to tell you guys how absolutely amazing your team did today. Our leaders just bragged on your students all day and night from Freeway. They said that they've never had a team there that has worked that good and been able to get that much knocked out. Thank you guys so much. It truly was a blessing for us today. Isn't that pretty cool? Those students, they have a shepherd. Because you don't do those things. You don't get testimonies like that unless you're like, hey, I got a shepherd, and he's leading me, and he's guiding me. And we're teaching that to them, and we're trying to teach that to you. All those students, they're in a small group, in a community group. Everything we're asking you to do, we're asking our kids to do. They're better together. They need community. Isolation, the devil loves to use isolation. He's out trying to pick off every relationship. Your relationships, they need a shepherd. Di and I, we sometimes go to see a marriage counselor, sometimes because we have to, and sometimes we go just for fun. It's really fun. It's awesome. We go just for like a checkup, like a little tune-up, like your car needs a tune-up. We go for a tune-up sometimes, just go and hang out with our counselor. And it's good for us. It's healthy for us because we have blind spots. And as good as our counselor is, we need a shepherd. Like, we need the shepherd. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to invite Jesus to be your shepherd. And in all the fun that we have, we like to have fun in church. We believe church should be fun. We always want everybody to know that you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, that's the main thing. It's like fun so that people know that Jesus has a plan, that he died on the cross, he rose again, he wants to live inside their life, and he's with them. Like, it's all that. So that this. All the fun, the groups, everything is about leading people back to Jesus. And so I'm asking you a question today, is have you ever trusted Jesus to be your good shepherd? Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ? It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. So I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes all across the way. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity right now, right where you're at, to invite Jesus to be your Savior. I'm going to ask you today if you've been to church. I'm asking you today if you're religious, because being religious and going to church doesn't save you. The only thing that can save you is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all that can save us. The only thing that can change your life is Jesus. Church can't change your life. Being good doesn't change your life. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ can change your life. So if you're here today, you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is your moment. This is your moment to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that in this room here today that we're all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, we're all sinners. And then it goes on a little bit further to tell us that because we're sinners, we are separated from God. But the story doesn't end there. It gets better. Because we're separated, Jesus sent his son to die on the cross for our sins via the cross. He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again so that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants for you today. And the only way to have him as your shepherd is to invite him to be in your life to be your Savior. And in that Savior, you get the shepherd. So right where you're at, if you're saying, Pastor Wes, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, I would like to ask you to be my Savior right now. This is for you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer today. The prayer doesn't save you. God saves us. But this is you asking him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you can be saved.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.